coming up. We're back, and we are finally ready to talk about Halloween Horror Nights 28. I mean, our thoughts on it. We've talked about it plenty of times leading up to it, and now we're ready to talk about it. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 192 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams. Today, I am joined alongside by my co-host, Ryan O'Clavin.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to this week's episode. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yes, we've been watching a steady dose of ASMR videos before we are kicking things off here, so I apologize for if we lead in with any jokes like that for right now, but it's just going to happen. But before we do get started with this week's episode, I do want to apologize that we weren't here last week. Obviously, by now, you should probably know if you follow me anywhere on social media, watch our other shows, whatever, that I did recently go through some health issues that kept us from releasing our episode about Halloween Horror Nights last week. I'll even say it. I haven't been back to the event since the first night because, I think at this point I have been back one time, but as of the release of this episode, it's been a long, long period. Haven't been able to go back. So these are my opinions of Halloween Horror Nights from the very first night when we went through with the media event. So I do apologize with that as well, too, because part of that means that we went through all the houses and stuff with a video camera, our DSLRs in front of our faces for pretty much the entire houses. So it's a very weird perspective of it. A lot of times we're going a little bit slower to try to get those scares timed out perfectly, or we just get completely unlucky and miss them altogether. But I just wanted to point it out that we have a very, very different experience of the event. At least I do, from only being able to go the first night. So I do apologize. I know it does have an impact on my whole thoughts and opinions on it. Luckily, Rhino has been back a couple times since that very first night. So he's going to help fill in the gaps a little more along the way. But yeah, we're going to go over everything the event entails. So if you don't remember what Halloween Horror Nights is, it is the hard ticket event that happens basically every Wednesday through Sunday night at Universal Studios Florida. This year's there's 10 houses, 5 scare zones, as well as one show with the Academy of Villains Cyberpunk. So basically what happens for Halloween Horror Nights is the park closes at 5 o'clock p.m. sharp. So at that point, if you do not have a ticket for Halloween Horror Nights, unfortunately, you have to leave. If you're just a day guest, if you do have a Halloween Horror Nights ticket and you are a day guest as well, too, you have the option for stay and scream, and we will get into what that is in one second. And if you don't have a day ticket, but you want to go to Halloween Horror Nights, you unfortunately have to just wait outside the gates until it opens at 6:30. With an air quote on that. Rhino, do you want to explain why on that one?
So my friends Andy and Frankie from England were here, and they bought just nighttime tickets, just the event ticket to Halloween Horror Nights. And I was going to meet them at, and I'm like, okay, well, they can't get in until 6:30, so I'll make sure to get there like a little before 6:30. And they're like texting me when I'm on my way, and it was like 6:20, and they're like, oh, we already did a house. I'm like, what? How did you get in the park? So they must have been let in. They said they let in at like 6:15 and then did rides and some stuff. So might get lucky. I think they let you in by 6:30.
Yeah.
So get the most of that ticket, though. Get there early.
Exactly. No, absolutely. You want to get there early. But with Stay and Scream, as I mentioned before, if you have that day ticket and you have your HHN ticket, you can take advantage of Stay and Scream. And with that, you have access. Sorry, Rhino was shuffling around.
I needed to get my backpack. Sorry.
Oh, he did. He did need to. So with Stay and Scream, basically you have two zones this year from what I'm familiar with Stay and Scream. The first zone is the classic Finnegan's one, mm-hmm. which is always popular because you have your beverages right there. And this is going to give you access to Stranger Things and Poltergeist. And apparently, it's just from what I've watched, again, I haven't been back, but this scare zone was filling up, or this Stay and Scream zone was filling up very quickly, and it was causing the Stranger Things line to skyrocket immediately before the event started. Granted, though, the first two weekends of the event, we have to look at it a little bit differently because on Friday and Saturday nights, they also did have the annual pass holder event where you could be in the Springfield, USA Stay and Scream section, and that was only for annual pass holders who signed up for that. So as of this point moving forward, now that they're both open, that should even things out a little bit more. But just know up front, people want Stranger Things galore, so that is going to be the most insane.
My recommendation is save it for the end of the night. I know, so if you just keep using the app, it'll tell you the wait times of the house. Like, it's not always 100% correct, but it's usually within 15 minutes or so of it. So if you just kind of keep opening that every now and then, you'll see it'll rise and fall.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to be like 90 minutes. So if you see it under that, my advice is get in line under that.
I know it happened the very second night of the event, that Saturday night, but they did have the issue on, or it might have even been on Friday night when we went for the media event. Regardless, one of those two nights, they didn't cut off the line till 1 o'clock, and then they ended up they didn't let everyone who went through the line actually go through the house.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah, because they can't force the cast to stay overtime to go through it. So
if that's the case, then I mean, like, if you, well, I guess the event went to 1:30, so it's like cutting them 1 o'clock. Off at 1. Oh, it was only 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. On the Wednesday I went, it was to 1:30. I thought
1.
Are you sure?
Positive. I believe it's only the 2 hours this year are 1 o'clock and then 2 o'clock.
Okay. I guess that makes more sense. But yeah, you're right. That's tricky then. I mean, they should cut the line off 30 minutes prior to the park close then, I think.
I don't believe I've seen the issue happen since then. I think it was just that one time. I am so sorry. My information is not super accurate on it. I haven't been back a lot. I don't know if they're closing the line off earlier because of that now. I don't know if they've had the issue again, but it was that issue one time. So just keep that in mind. They do have the right to close any house for any reason at any point in time. So don't also, while it might be a good idea to save something towards the end, you might get a better line out of it. Don't bank on it either.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, like, toward the end of the evening, I'm not saying, like, get in line at 12:45 or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, don't make it the first thing, unless it's like, that's the only thing I care about and I'm going to that. Yeah. Everything else is frosting.
Yeah. Whatever. So we explained Stay and Scream, your options for that. In the past, they also had the Hello Kitty Stay and Scream zone, and this one would usually hit the house that is the first one as soon as you're going into the park. But from everything that I've seen, because I still haven't been back, they're just using that for overflow for Stranger Things. So if you don't even make it into the Finnegan zone and you're stuck in the Hello Kitty one, you're going to be waiting even longer. But that's kind of the nuts and bolts of the event. So I would say at this point, why don't we kick it off and talk about the houses? And Rhino, I was just going to talk about them in the order that we experienced them the first night. Or do you have a different order you want to take them in?
I was going to rank them.
Well, I was going to rank them afterwards, but
okay, let's rank them afterwards then. That's
yeah.
Fine.
So the very first house that we got to experience at the event actually was Halloween 4. So, of course, this is Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, which tells the story of the fourth Halloween movie. And so I, of course, I'm not going to get into a lot of the spoilerish areas of this because I want people to enjoy. Obviously, we have videos of it, and you've probably seen videos of it. You might have even experienced it at the event, but I just want to talk about our overall thoughts of this. I think my ultimate opinion is it's kind of good for what it is.
Well,
don't have me wrong. I don't remember if we've talked about it. I watched the movie right before we left for the event, Halloween 4, and I forgot how not okay that movie is. I think I kind of talked about it a little bit more positively on our last episode leading up to it. It was not so great. In my opinion, the source material wasn't really there. So it's kind of hard to make a really good house when you don't have great source material.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I honestly, I think that I don't know. It's hard because the Halloween house they did, the main like Halloween one house they did a couple years ago, was really good. And then Halloween 2, Hell Comes to Haddonfield, was so good too. And it was really a highlight of those years. And then you kind of get to the lesser popular movies, like you said, like the source material isn't as good. And like the house starts to kind of reflect that too. So it was a lot more, it felt to me like a cliche standard haunted house with like Michael Myers as the guy in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it could have been made almost anywhere. Like it had a couple things where I was like, okay, that I recognize that from the movie, but it was like, it was like, I'm not afraid of Michael Myers. I mean, I am afraid of Michael Myers like in real life, but like, I'm not like, it's he like visually is not scary. So the scares in this house completely and entirely are people popping out at you.
But it did tell the story. I will say that it went through the entire story of the movie, and it did a good job of explaining it. But kind of like you said, it's reliant on Michael Myers scaring, and I do think that he is impactful in that way when he's scaring you. I just think that maybe Halloween might be burnout, unless the new Halloween movie coming out is a success and it has that iconic moments that they can translate. I think Halloween 4 might be a good stopping place for translating the Halloween movies into houses. That's
we're getting H2O. Getting H2O.
I really hope not. I think this is a good one to end on. You know, it still hit all the right notes. It had, well, there was one good Loomis in the house. The other Loomis was just flat out awful.
I think I only will see the one good one, and I refuse to acknowledge the other one.
Yeah, it was not, the casting was off on that, but all the Michael Myers were good throughout the house. The music was just awesome, but it didn't leave me overwhelmed, especially for our first house. And at that point, we went to Academy of Villains. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But next on our house was things didn't get much better for us, and that was Seeds of Extinction. And
I don't want to save it for the ranking, but go on. You talk about it. I don't want to.
This was obviously one of the ones that was low on our list leading into the event. And a lot of times that's a good thing for me when I have low expectations of something. I can walk away from it with a lot happier because my expectations are so low. That's just a human thing. And I don't know what it was about this house, but it did not have any appeal to me. I will say we did call it right. There wasn't a lot of things dangling from the ceiling, but there was one point in particular where I just did get completely stuck in the maze and I had to be untangled. So
I was like pulling on your, he got wrapped up and I'm like pulling on him to pull back because this like vine had wrapped completely around his backpack and I'm trying to pull it out and they're like pushing me from behind and I'm like we can't go anywhere, he's stuck.
Yeah,
like,
I would have tore down an entire,
I was like oh god.
But yeah, so the positives about the house, my initial impression leaving the house wasn't that great, but watching it back on the video and really getting to take it in from that perspective, is a very beautiful house. I will say that it's very detailed. The plant life has just completely overtaken every bit of space around. I guess you could look at it as kind of like a cheap cop out, but I see it as there was a whole lot of work to go in. There was this huge plane prop inside one of the
rooms. I thought that was cool. That was cool because it, like, you go in and it's got that fan effect, so the wind is swirling in the room and whatnot. That was a highlight. There was one other thing I liked too, but
well, what was that other thing?
So my biggest issue with this house is the majority of the characters are wearing the exact same costume. It's like this bush creature with mushrooms. So I just call them the Mushroom Men. Like, and they're literally like, I'll give it to the idea of, like, they could be just literally right there on one of the poles, and you don't know, because it's supposed to be like, is that a bush or is that a thing? Yeah. And I'm like, eh, I know what it is. Like, but there were a couple as you got toward the later part where there were actual, like, it was like the costume, but then it had puppets on the costume. Yeah. So that part, like, would come out like a Seymour plant from Little Shop of Horrors and try and get you. And so, but, like, overall for me, it was too, like, everything was the same in the house. It was too, like, there was, I will agree with you, when you go through, if you really look at it, like, when you're in the, like, I think you're in, like, maybe a general store at one point.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you're like, and it's cool because you're like, oh, this feels like maybe they did pick this up out of, like, an abandoned store and brought it here or something like that. Yep. But my thing is just, like, it's so basic. I don't know.
Yeah, the sets were beautiful, but you're right. The scares were definitely, like, they were camouflage scares. It was try to blend in. I feel like they took that note a little bit from Scarecrow last year, and it worked well for them. I'm not sure that it worked well for here, too, but I feel like the more I do Seeds of Extinction, the more this one's going to grow on me. I feel like it's going to take a good, solid couple more weeks for this characters to really get in their groove in this house and really, really deliver a lot of terror. But that's my opinion on that one. And then we moved on to one of the highlights for me, which is Trick or Treat. And while they didn't necessarily replicate the movie from start to finish perfectly, they literally translated the movie so well. If you're not a huge fan of the movie, I could see how this house might not really be a thing that you're interested in.
Well, I went the two times I've gone since our initial night, I went with people who hadn't seen the movie, and they still both enjoyed the house.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get the entirety of the story, I guess, but I don't know that everybody always does for all the houses anyways, you know?
So. I would almost argue that you don't get any general idea of the story. The only, a lot of the scares in this one, kind of like we just said, Michael Myers did most of the scaring. A lot of the popping out in this house is from Sam, which is amazing because Sam is so adorable, and the more Sam, the better, in my opinion. But it didn't always work in that, like, in the first section of the house, you're going through the bus drivers. Spoiler if you haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, geez Louise. Why don't you just say the crazy neighbor?
The crazy neighbor, then, the bus driver. It's all together. Listen, we said minimal spoilers for the houses. I didn't say for the movies themselves. And so it starts off in that, and Sam's a huge part of that. So it makes sense that he's scaring in there. Then you go to the principal next, in the next part of it, and Sam's still in there too, but so it's making a little less sense now. And
well, there was like, when I went back, there was like a witch that jumped out at you. So it's like supposed to be trick-or-treaters because, you know, this is the scene that opens the movie because it's the teacher and the people across the street's house. And if you don't know, it's like the lady with the lollipop in the mouth, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was cool, you know? And they did exactly like you predicted. They'd have the throwing up kid on the porch is there. You know, can't waste that prop.
But for me, the highlights of the house, skip those first two parts. It then goes into the werewolf section.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. And they did what I thought they would do.
Yeah.
I feel like it's almost in an area that maybe you're not supposed to see it because it's supposed to scare you or whatever. But I've been telling people when you go into the woods, you need to turn to your right because it's over there. And it's just really cool to look at. And I know you're probably not supposed to look at it because it's supposed to, like, jump from behind you. But I'm like, I'm watching you.
Yeah. And then it moves from the werewolf scene into the bus scene, with all of the kids. Mm. And this, it's two separate ones. You have the bus before and then the bus after. For those who haven't seen the movie, it kind of takes a little bit of a plunge. Things get dark. But this is a big set and just really beautifully decorated.
Yeah.
And so I think the house takes the moments from the movie well. It just doesn't tell the story of the movie well.
No, because, I mean, it's all out of order, too. It's, yeah. The movie's out of order a little bit, too, but it is kind of like... I like, for me, one of the highlights too is it smells like candy when you're going in. I like that you go in through the house with all the pumpkin patches. And I do like that bus scene with the bus in the water, because I like when, and I haven't seen it much last year or then there aren't a lot of houses this year that employ it, but there was when they do really cool effects. Do you remember like when I first did Halloween Horror Nights with you and there was a house where it made it feel like we were like 10 feet in the air or something like that? It was like a castle.
Oh, yeah.
And so this kind of use some of that effect. It's a simple effect. It's literally probably just like mirrors on the ground, but it makes it look like the bus is sunk into the water, like it is into the mud in the movie. And I do enjoy that. I think that's cool, but I do know what you're saying. Like it is like, it's one of those houses where like you could watch the movie. I think you'll kind of be like, I don't know what I was like going through here otherwise, but you know,
and that's why I look at it. Trying to play devil's advocate with it, I love the movie, and I feel like it was exactly what I wanted the house to be. But if you're not a huge fan of the movie, if you didn't really care for the movie, or if you haven't seen it at all, I don't know. I won't say 100% that you'll love the house. You might appreciate it, but it might be lower on your list. But we moved on then from Trick or Treat to what we can already say unanimously now was a terrible house, and that is The Horrors of Blumhouse.
Yeah.
As we talked about leading up to the event, it was Happy Death Day as well as the first Purge together, and it kicks off right away with Happy Death Day, and it did exactly what we were expecting. We were going to go through the dorm room of the main lead in the movie who keeps getting killed by Babyface, and you see different variations of it. But one of the things I did appreciate with this house is that it did then take other scenes from the movie and brought them to life. I'm not going to discuss what they are if you haven't seen the movie, but it doesn't all just happen in the same space over and over again, even though the house leads you to believe it. I thought the Happy Death Day section was decently well done. It could have been better. But for what it was, I feel like
it's the highlight of the house. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I like, for me going through, I like to see. I like the idea. I haven't seen the movie, but I know I know the trailer and stuff like that, and I'm gonna watch it. But it's like it's the repeat of the day. And I know you said that's not authentic. It's a news story. I know you said that's not authentic to the movie, but. I like that, like the idea of like the Groundhog Day horror house, like and there's a lot of cool. There's a really awesome Back to the Future poster in her dorm room that I want to take down. Like I want to take it that I noticed last time, and I think it's fun to kind of see that set employed. But overall, this is why is it not? If you don't have a property that can stand alone, it doesn't need to be split into multiple things.
I personally thought they could have. Bless you. I thought they could have kept Happy Death Day by itself. They could have really fleshed that out more. Unfortunately, they paired it with the first Purge, and the execution, everything about this was just blatantly lazy, in my opinion. It felt half-hearted. It's, again, like a lot of the stuff with the Purge lately, it's, we'll take kind of characters that look familiar from the movies or are right from the movies, in this case, the first Purge, but we're just going to put them in environments that aren't always directly right from the movie. And this one did have its elements from the first Purge, but overall, it just did not work at all. It wasn't scary. It was just loud. It was kind of obnoxious. The scares weren't that good. It was a sour ending to the house. So I don't have anything positive to say.
I've gone through that multiple times. I can't even remember the first Purge part.
Yeah.
So that I literally remember just the siren going off. The Purge will commence. And I was like, is the house over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did move on from there to Dead Exposure, which is Dead Exposure Patient Zero. This is, of course, the house that is mostly in the dark and illuminated with key lighting moments as you're going throughout. And this definitely had some cool elements throughout it. We're still trying to figure out the timeline. I believe I was starting my feverish symptoms right before going to the event. So my mind is like blurring in and out. I will just say dead exposure does not play well on video. So watching
it
back.
No, it does not. Yeah. It's mostly a black screen. Yeah.
Watching it back, I'm not getting a great idea of the house. I know I loved it right after we got out of it. And there's two elements of it that I absolutely loved. There is a scene going through a subway car. Mm-hmm. That's
definitely a highlight for me.
That is just it was really well done. Even I caught a good scare on camera with it that I loved. And then I believe it's like French catacombs that you go through. I think that's what you
would
consider.
Yeah, because it's like a sewer or something like that. Because there's a small thing, small half circle, like in the water, and I'm like, you know, there's some scares in there and stuff like
that. Yeah, that's
don't forget about the monkey room.
I do forget about the monkey room.
Okay, so it kind of start. I think this is where the virus comes from or something. It reminds me of, if you've ever seen 28 Days Later, the opening of that movie is the animal rights people breaking into the animal testing facility. And this scene is pulled out of that because it is literally just a flashing light and there are just cages full of just this noise of monkeys screaming. And there's actual things moving around in those cages. You know, I'm sure they're not animals, but so you're so kind of distracted looking around by that. Things get you from around that area or whatever. But I will say when we went through on the night, we did it that first night. The other times I've gone through, I've had much better experiences through the house than I did that first night. So I think we were hitting I know you said you got a good scare in the subway scene, and that part is really cool because I really like the effects they use with the mirrors and stuff. But it was when you're getting in the subway, when you're looking down at a subway and it's a strobe light and there's bodies there, and then all of a sudden you're like, are there more bodies that were there than before? Because there, where the railing goes down, there are people sitting on the other side, but it's reflected back, and I'm like, I love practical effects like that that are just simple but beautiful. And this house does use its strobe light well, but I feel like our scares when we went through were very minimal the first time, and they have definitely pumped those up, and at least my experiences since then.
And like I said, I loved it leaving the house. I remember really enjoying it, but watching it back, I don't get that same idea. So I think once we go over our ranking, that this will end up being higher than it was right now, but I just have to get back and experience it. You know, I've been going through a lot, so I'm not trying to make it a sad story. It's just I haven't done it, so this is just half baked at best. But we moved on from there to Slaughter Cinema, of course, the anthology house going through all of the different B movies that Universal created to take place in this house. I will say, when we went in this, we cut in the side entrance, so we missed all the facade, right?
Yeah, I was even saying I feel like it's a missed opportunity that they don't have it's not like you're entering the movie theater, because I know in years past they projected stuff on the walls, and then I went back and that is exactly what they do while you're waiting.
Exactly.
They do all the trailers from all these movies, and so it's really not only that, but I feel like they show some stuff from other Halloween Horror Nights, which is pretty cool. So, and then we missed out, I didn't smell the popcorn when you're going and stuff, because we didn't walk by that area.
Yeah. So that's Rhino has experienced that. I knew that there was more to it that we were missing, because when we walked in, it picked right up with the first movie poster and the first movie that you go through. And I apologize. I don't have the list of all of the movies with me, but
Sorority Sacrifice. There's the I don't want to say one of them because it's kind of a bad word. The kids one.
Oh yeah.
There's Midnight Snack 2. I know that. Midnight Snack 2.
And then of course the Swamp Yeti.
The Devil Dogs.
Yeah.
And then the kid one is the Chuck E. Cheese. Amazon
Cannibals.
Yes. Pumpkin Guts.
Pumpkin Guts. There was the baby one. The baby in the cage. I Don't remember the exact.
there's that one.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the baby in the cage one? I think that's the next one here, but I don't think I got the poster.
Cult of the Beast.
Cult of the Beast baby, and that one was really cool because it had really cool. Well, I mean, if you can, this is definitely a repeat house because there is a lot of detail. So each one of these movies is its own like little room and entity. And there is a lot of like the Beast Baby one is really cool because there's like, you're like, okay, it's the Beast Baby. So I've got to look at the baby because it's a scary baby in a cage with light up eyes. And it looks like, you know, the devil. And it's a room full of mirrors. So there's like, and you like have to weave in between all these people. And like, as you do that, like people are popping up and I'm like, oh God, like I wasn't looking. And you know, the lighting changes and everything. So that was really cool. And then there was an interesting use of like animatronics in the midnight snack room too, because there's these things that look like the movie Critters, the little things, and they're eating a guy's stomach. But then Craig walked right by it. Oh, Barber Chop. We forgot about Barber Chop.
Yeah.
Craig walked right by it. And I was like, you got to turn around because there was a massive like head that was popping through a wall. This monster. I think it was one of the things that were eating the people. Oh. It was like this, I don't know, one giant version of them that's like coming through a wall trying to eat people as they come by. And I thought that was like awesome and cool. And
it was campy. It was fun. It was definitely the fun house.
Yeah.
There were some scares, but I don't think there's anything that would overly terrify you in this house. At the same time, too, I thought it was just a lot of fun moments where you could decompress and laugh. My favorite was the bad word kids room, for sure. And
yeah,
and then I loved the Swamp Yeti. I knew I was going to love the Swamp Yeti going into it. And then I enjoyed Cult of the Beast Baby. Those were probably my standout sections in the house. But I thought it was fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, we moved on to the marquee house of the event, Stranger Things. And it's exactly, I think, what we expected it to be in ways.
Okay. I'm like kind of scrolling through the videos as we go. Is this supposed to be Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Winona Ryder's character because I think the boys are played by women in this attraction. And so like it popped out and all I can hear is, you know, it's exactly kind of what you think it's going to be. It's a lot of Winona Ryder screaming for Will. Will, my boy.
There are moments with that too. It follows the series very loosely. In a way, but it still goes. It goes through the motions. It has everything that you would want from it. You have the kids in there.
You start how the series starts. You start in the facility. I forget what it's called, the power plant area or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, and you know you got that. I'm gonna tell you too. The night we went through this, I watching the video back and going through, I was like, it feels like there's supposed to be stuff here. There was a lot more the second time I went through. This one I've only gone through twice. Yeah. But, you know, also opening night, you know, getting the rhythm down, all that stuff. But, it you kind of go through there, into the woods, into the house, into the shed. You're like, it's like what you said. Like, you're following the general timeline of the movie, the show, and then not following the timeline of the show, too.
Yeah, and like I was starting to say too, you see the characters on the night that we went through for that first time. We had Will, we had Mike,
we had Jonathan.
We had Jonathan, we had obviously
the mom, I can't remember her name right, Joyce.
Yeah, Joyce, thank you.
Hopper was in there.
Yep, Hopper was in there.
They have a good Hopper, although I guess everybody can kind of look like Hopper, but he's in a couple parts. So
yeah, no, we had a good variety of all the characters throughout, and I think they were all cast really well. Like Rhino said, some of the younger boys are portrayed by women, so I don't want to offend any guys out there who are cast in these roles. It's just they have very soft features to them, and that's probably the nicest way I can say that. But then we do go into the Upside Down, and it's exactly what you would expect from it. It's just a whole bunch of Demogorgons, and then a lot of those jump scares from people shooting weapons off around you. And to me, that's I didn't want that many Demogorgons, and it happened.
It's like they heard what you said, and they're like, you know what, guys? Triple the Demogorgons.
Yeah, and then there was... I don't like the gunshot ones. Like, I don't mind it to a point, but when there's all these characters just shooting off guns around, it just... it gets into too much. The finale scene with Eleven is... pretty awesome, as she is, if you've watched the show, when she takes care of the Demogorgon, they have a very cool effect for how they translate this into the event. But I think if you're a huge fan of the show, you'll be a huge fan of the house.
Yeah,
but it might not be your favorite.
It's what you want. It's exactly what you want it to be. There's no attention to detail that they kind of missed out on. There is, you know, like I was like, oh, are we going to see... people are like, are you going to see Barb? You see Barb. And you know where you're going to see Barb. And it's like, they do a really good job. Like, when you're in the Upside Down, yes, it's going to have the ash coming down and stuff like that. So it is really, for me, I was like, it's my favorite thing about it. Like, it felt like I was in the show.
Yeah.
But then I was also like, it's like what you said. Like, it's not necessarily scary. It's scary, but not like... It's more like it was thrilling, I guess, yeah. As opposed to like, oh, fear. You know, like I will commend them. I thought the Demogorgon, all the Demogorgon costumes looked awesome. Yep. Yeah,
it was very well done. It's Netflix and Universal should be proud.
Yeah.
Of what they put
and
together.
And I hope they do it again next year. I'm just going to say, I don't know how they'll do it. It would be a lot more of the Upside Down, I guess. A lot of Will just screaming at people and telling them lies, but...
we've talked about it before. I have thoughts on season two, but that's not for here. We're going to move on to more positive topics, and that is with... I think we can just go ahead and say now, arguably, the standout house of the event. It's almost everyone I have talked to agrees with this, and that is Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of reminded me a lot of last year with The Shining. It was a great adaptation of the movie. This was another circumstance where you're not walking through the movie step by step.
Yeah, not chronologically.
At all. But it is taking exactly what you wanted to see from the movie, and it is bringing it to life. And I know I had this lower on my list because I said I don't know how they are going to actually accomplish some of the scares in the movie. Based on me watching the movie, and I'll take that back 100%. It's with the use of some interesting puppetry and just special effects. Nailed it.
You were afraid it was just going to be like a really crappy that monster, the white llama looking thing.
Yeah,
but I will definitely say this when we rank them. I know where this one's going to be for me, but. It is interesting because, like you said, it's not in order, but it gives you all the... I had watched it, like, right before the event. I said in the episode we'd recorded before we went. And so, like, I was even trying to, like, make a list because I know you were like, oh, you had told me before I watched it, like, I don't know how they'll do it. So I was like, yeah. Oh, well, let me think. And pretty much everything that I was like, okay, they really got into the nitty-gritty detail of this movie. Like, the steak moves across the counter in the kitchen and stuff. And I felt like we were almost, again, like, it's just a matter of timing sometimes. And we were on the first night. So I feel like timing wise missed some stuff the first night. And so when I went back and did this again, I was like, oh my God, this house is great. Because I didn't see the, I don't remember the psychic's name. This house is clean.
You never will.
And I
did catch her the very first night.
Yeah. And I heard her voice.
Yeah.
I heard the playing, but I didn't see somebody in the house. And I saw it the next night. And it
I'm
was
a
cool
big boy.
And,
I block them. I'm a big boy. I had a little bit better timing through that house than you did because you're a couple people behind me or maybe right behind me. And again, I'm a big boy, so I block people going through. But I will say it just everything from the start of it, walking in and you're going down into the
you didn't move the bodies.
And that's the perfect.
And it's like raining. Yeah. It's cool. I love a house and there's the effect that starts right on the outside.
Yeah. And it just like Rhino said with that, they had the lines coming in from the movie. They included all those iconic lines in it, too, that you wanted to hear. So they found out the way to do the scares and do them interestingly. yeah, the big face. They brought in those elements from the movie with the dialogue and. It just, I don't have anything else to say besides it just spectacular job. Again, I was completely blown away.
I would encourage you, if you have time, do the house more than once. Because yeah. We went through once, and the first night there's a big scene that you're going through, like a bedspread. The first night I remember being like, oh, I'm nervous. But when I went back, like, oh my God, it was 10 times scarier going through that area because there was a lot more characters in there that were going around. And like, I didn't see any of them the first night. Yeah. And I at this point though, I could have been just so scared. Yeah. But like, you know, there's a lot, this house is a lot to look at and it's very long too. So it is like, you almost get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm scared now. I need to leave. Like, yeah. But it's very well done, yeah.
Yep. So that will move us on to Scary Tales, Deadly Ever After, and we knew it was going to be an anthology house kind of with the different fairy tales, and the Wicked Witch kind of changed the timeline. The creatures from these fairy tales were being tortured, and this house just blew me away. Yeah. Again, I even at the point as we're doing this, I'm still rethinking my rankings on this. It starts off right off the bat. You walk down the hallway and you see some of the banners and stuff that we knew that from the announcement of it when they showed us the banners.
Yeah, all the characters being involved, yeah, in the storyline.
But then you walk in this big open room, and right in front of you, you do see the Wicked Witch, and of course, they had to incorporate a flying element in it. So she's flying around the room. She's got a cauldron that she just like flicks, and a puff of smoke comes out, yeah, of it.
It's so cool.
But it's the way she's flying around. Like, once you get to a certain point that you're far enough in, she's literally flying over top of you. And it is just so, so well done. And and then there's so many of the fairy tales that
well,
right when you get in, Dorothy's in a cage. At least I believe it's Dorothy. And you see the pigtails.
Yeah, because the lion, because she's got the lion, yeah, too. So it must be, yeah.
Yeah.
Three Little Pigs is one of them too, because you get that really strong bacon smell. Mm-hmm. And then Little Red Riding Hood, she's, I'm pretty sure, being like eaten alive by the werewolf or something.
There's Goldilocks. Oh,
maybe that's Hansel and Gretel. I don't know.
It could be. There's definitely Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and because there is a good bear scare in,
yes,
this house.
Yes, it's amazing. And is HHN Bear a thing?
Yeah, it started a couple of years back, and it's someone made the account on Twitter.
I literally saw it the day, yeah, we were going to this event, and then there was a bear in this house, and I was like, "Was this like, is every year there a bear that I've been unaware of or something?" But
yeah, I think HHN Bear hit its prominence in 25. That was when they had the bear inside the 25 years of Monsters and Mayhem. There was an awesome bear scare in that, but this house just was so well done, and the Wicked Witch,
it's
isn't
really
just
cool
in the
effect.
Beginning,
yeah,
she comes
say.
Back again. Oh, it,
she's in, she's like throughout the house too, but they do some of my favorite effects that I feel like that down the hallway,
yeah,
where like, and then the next second they're right in front of you because they bungee jump, or like you got to like look up and stuff, and the, you know, the team member's going to yell at you not to stop, but it's okay to look around, just,
yeah,
so you know, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So just remarkably well done, a great,
oh,
great house.
The room with all the witches.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Ooh, scary.
No, I this is one of the ones I can't wait to go back and do again. I just loved it that much on the first night. And the last house we saw was the final house too, Carnival of Graveyard, Rust in Pieces. And I will say that this house was incredibly detailed throughout. It was just...
We got lost.
We did get lost at one point. It's a trend with us. There was so much in there. There was so much to look at besides the scares. This one kind of gave me that idea back to Lightning Gulch, where you just have a really detailed, oriented house where you want to look around at everything more than really concentrating on where the scares are going to come from.
Okay, I have to tell you something, because you saw me looking this up when we were starting the show. So I was rewatching the video that I took in the house, and so I forgot. When you first walk in, and you know, it's all supposed to be broken down theme park stuff, yeah, like, or whatever. So I grew up on a theme park because my grandfather was the operating manager of Edenville Railroad in Carver, Massachusetts. So I spent a lot of my childhood like with him at that theme park. And so when it shut down in the years when it was being sold and then reopened and then sold and reopened, some stuff became his stuff, you know, some, yeah, of the things in the park. And there was a frog that we call Freddy the Frog that has since lived. And my grandparents have a house that has a frog pond on the property, yeah, on it. And he lives there. And so Freddy, my grandfather repaints him from time to time. When you walk into this house, there is a dilapidated Freddy the Frog in this house. And I was like, so I like turned around and took a video of it. And I'm like, no, this can't be it. But I have been studying the video. And this is literally the frog that is in my grandparents' pond in their house right now. Like, it's the same feet, the same everything. His hands are in the same place. And it's like, it's almost like, it's cool because I'm like, that's from a theme park. Yeah. Like that, like closed down. I mean, it's open and running now, but like, you know, an original. It's really authentic to me. But also creepy because now I have to, yeah, look at this frog when I go home next weekend.
No, and they did this. They obviously took Universal props and put it in. I saw from some of the people who did the Lights on Tours later that they have like a Dueling Dragons.
Oh, is this one of the Lights on ones? That's cool.
Yeah. So there's this one I would think is an awesome one to see on the Lights on Tour just because there is so much. I believe they hit a Terminator prop in there as well,
that's
too.
Cool.
Other things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of thought that went into this house, and I like that it does also have multiple levels to it. Not, you don't go up multiple levels, but it's not all just on the ground floor.
Yeah.
You have to look up and down on this house, and that's a good way to build a house. So I thought the scares were decent. There wasn't any that were necessarily terrifying, but overall my favorite, there's one clown that's up above you.
Ugh,
that's,
yeah,
on a bungee that, yeah, I,
yeah,
thought,
yeah,
was
creepy.
Pretty cool.
I like the situation of this house too, because when you exit, you're right at the roller coaster, so it's kind of like it blends in. I know we're at a theme park, but it blends into the right part of the park really well. I can see it in Craig's eyes. He's sick in this video,
yes,
that I'm watching. But it's one of those houses where I like the build of the house and I like those extra effects that you're talking about, but I don't like the look of any of these,
yeah,
characters. I don't get it. It's like steampunk future stuff.
Yeah,
I don't,
carnies.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, so, but I was impressed with, like you said, there's a lot of stuff and it looks cool.
Yep.
You know?
I completely agree. So that's all the houses. And are we ready to rank it now, or should we talk about everything else and then save the rank for last?
Save the ranking for last.
Okay. So next thing we're going to talk about just real quickly, because I will be 100% honest, the scare zones, we kind of ran through them all that night. I haven't been back again, so I haven't really had the chance to experience them. The only scare zone I will say that I got a thorough idea on is Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because I basically stopped our tour to make sure that I could spend lots of time in there getting pictures with all the clowns. So that's the only one I'm an expert on. I'll have to talk to Rhino about all the rest. But with one of the other things that we did do, it was we saw Academy of Villains Cyberpunk. And, mm-hmm, of course, this is in the Fear Factor live stage this year. So a ton of seating for the show that we were in. It actually filled up. I don't know if that's been happening at all since then. The event has been very busy, but I don't know if people are flocking to it necessarily, or if it really would have been a better idea to have it on a stage. I guess we'll know more about that later on as the event goes on. But basically, the theme of this is that a group of vigilantes, humans, are trying to destroy the regime that's in power. So the regime is going around trying to find the humans and bring them to the leader for execution, I guess, is that's probably the ultimate end goal. But basically, yeah, it is the normal Academy of Villains show with a mixture of dance and then just a twist on other dance elements. So Like, it, like their shows have been in the past, it's kind of been broken down into three different special sections. The first section is this screen element, kind of. In the first year, it's not like that, where they used a lot of special lighting on this. This is more like projections on the screen, and it's a cool little thing. I thought it worked very well with the show. There were still people dancing off to the sides and stuff while the main feature was happening right in front of you. So I thought it blended well. From there, they had this laser finger dancing portion.
I like the laser dancing.
Yeah, I did like the laser dancing too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so simple. They literally just have like lasers on their fingers.
I was like, where can I get those? Because I want one.
Yeah. I just want to walk around my house with it. It's kind of like us with Grinch gloves. But, like,
yeah.
But that was a cool section. And then I think the best section of all is the final one in there, and that is a tightrope.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Where they have kind of like dueling tightropes happening. And it's nothing like, it's not circus style where it's high up in the sky. It's just, it's a different type. And then, of course, just high energy dancing all throughout. In my opinion, it's way better than last year's show, miles above last year's show. But it still doesn't quite have the magic that the first year's show did. But it's still excellent. I think the houses are the main stars this year, as well as some of the scare zones. So if you have time for Academy of Villains, I would say absolutely sit down to do it. But
yeah, if you're going repeatedly, you're not going to miss anything.
But if you're on a time crunch, I would say unless watching dance shows is like your jam, this would probably be one that I would skip, just because of the style of having to go into the theater, sit and wait, sit through the show. It's much different than when you could walk up, last minute, stand deep in the back and watch it like when it was in its place where it used to be.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like is kind of a missed opportunity. So it's a dance show, and you like want people to get into it, but they're all sitting down. Yeah. Nobody can stand up and do anything. So it doesn't have that same kind of like, I liked how they would come into the crowd last year and they, you know, and like if you're into it, you kind of want to move your body a little bit, maybe not. But it's also like once you're in, and maybe it's not for you, you're kind of stuck in there, and that's the other part. So I don't really like that either. I just don't think it justifies the not having the show that was in there before.
Yeah, and even if they didn't have Bill and Ted back this year, I still feel like exactly what my prediction was this year, is that it's a show that needs to be experienced standing, watching up on a stage.
Yes.
And to get into it, there should be a different show here in this place.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it has to be Bill and Ted. I'm not saying like, I get it, you want to move on and do different things, and Bill and Ted becomes a liability in this day and age, you know, with social media and stuff. So it's like, that's fine. It wasn't a sit down and watch it, like you said.
Yep. So let's move on to the scare zones. The first one I want to talk about is arguably the smallest, and of course that is Killer Clowns from Outer Space, based on the hit movie that no one's ever heard of, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And you know, it's we knew this was going to be campy. It was going to feature the clowns from the movie, the whole variety of them with their weapons, which, you know, in the movie they turn people into they use their guns to turn people into cotton candy cocoons, which then they proceed to suck the blood out of the cocoons once they have people in that state. There's other elements that they use to attack their victims. A great scene in the movie where there's some finger puppeting happening on the wall.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that because I'm looking at the scare zone. Like, you got to look up at the building above the scare zone.
And they brought that in too. So it's a multi-level experience again, kind of like we talked about with Carnival Graveyard. You can't just watch. You can't see the clowns on the ground level. You can't see the ice cream truck and just say, oh, I saw everything with that. You have to look up too and see the wall. You have to time it perfectly where you're hearing the Killer Clowns from Outer Space theme song as you're going through, which if you've never seen the movie, you probably don't need, you probably haven't heard the theme song, and it's awesome.
Oh, it's wonderful.
This scare zone is so well done for what it is. I wish it was bigger. I'm glad that it's intimate, though, and it works the way it does, and hopefully next year it'll be a house. That's all I can say about that.
I think if you watch the movie, if ever I've seen something that could easily be translated into a Halloween Horror Nights house, this is it.
Yeah, I agree. I could easily see that. So the next one we'll talk about, just because I did catch a little bit of it because we went a little slower through, and that was obviously the Chucky section. They wanted to point it out since they did make the effort to have the whole little Chucky setup where there's a Chucky puppet actually interacting with the crowd. And
an actual sized Chucky puppet, just so we're clear. There was no people playing him. It was an actual puppet.
Yes, it is an actual puppet. All the other characters in the area are actually they're different toys and kind of like that set. It's not Chucky's running around like we thought might happen. It's completely different in that. But the main show here is going up to the stage with all the good guy dolls set up and hearing Chucky talk back to you in the crowd. And I stood and watched for 30 seconds. And, you know, he did a good job of picking the one person out in the crowd and kind of just making them feel terrible about themselves. And
I walked by the other night, and it was like they were closing the curtain because that's how it closes on the end of him. And it got, like, stuck in him. He's like, oh, the curtain didn't close. Oh, look what you did. Like, and so he's yelling it out. He's like, that's embarrassing. Like, and so that was funny.
Yeah.
It's funny to see that, like, it feels and it sounds like Chucky, so I don't know if it is him. I doubt it.
I think they got good voices to take over that role. But I think it's cool for what it is with that. I need to go back and see if I'm really getting scared going through there. I doubt it, but I like it for the elements that there was. But we'll go over the rest of them now. We have the Harvest.
The only things that are out there scaring people, they're stupid bush people. And then there's like one pumpkin man from the Twisted Tradition area.
I think this one could probably evolve with time. So we'll see how it ends up being. Rhino, run me through Twisted Tradition.
Twisted Tradition is essentially where they had the trick-or-treat area last year, and it's kind of similarly themed, so it's all the pumpkins tied up on the trees, which looks beautiful lit up at night. A lot of smoke machines, and it's essentially got, like, I would call them colonial trick-or-treaters. Mm. So that's what it looks like to me. Like, they're older than what the trick-or-treat ones looked like. The trick-or-treat had that, like, 50s vibe. These feel like this is turn-of-the-century vibe. And then there's, like, a couple people that are, like, on stilts. Not people, but they're, like, things. Like, they're, like, pumpkin. So, but what I really like about these things is, like, the ribs all light up. Like, it's like a scarecrow with a pumpkin. And then, like, his mouth lights up, but the arms are all crazy weird. Those are really beautiful. And then it's, like, if you... you come in from the main side, like Mel's Dining is behind you, and you're going toward E.T., like that way. There's a big barn with like a truck against it. You know, it's a weird, huge accent piece where nothing happens. But there's like one regular person that I think is out there that is like running around telling people like to be careful going through, screaming about it and stuff.
That's the mood.
Yeah. So there's that. So I think it's kind of supposed to be very like, It's basic, but it's like you don't want much in that area because you don't want to get like clogged up over there. So
understand. But so cool. What about Vamp 85?
Oh, I love Vamp 85. So Vamp 85 is in the New York area by the Mummy and just that whole block down there, and they've got the stage set up with the 1985 countdown to 1985. So they've got like it's supposed to be like, you know, New Year's Eve in New York City, so appropriately placed. But I don't know how often it happens, but it happens a couple times a night. They do the countdown to midnight, and like the ball will like shoot fire out of the top of it, and like everything goes off and they celebrate. And in those streets, there'll be like the humans that are out there like kind of drunk celebrating in their 80s attire. So they've got like the big hair and the frilly dresses and everything. And, you know, you can see they've been bitten because they'll be like bleeding on the neck and stuff. But then there'll be like vampires walking around. There's like somebody that's kind of dressed up and they look kind of like Prince. There's somebody that looks like Michael Jackson from the Thriller video. You know, all these things. There's like news reporters that are walking around. And there's a band that was performing as part of the special that's just been murdered on their mics and everything. My favorite thing, though, that they do randomly, and it's not really with the countdown to midnight, is there's a couple of songs that'll play, because the great part is it's all 80s music out over here. And it's like, I know they do it to Thriller, and there's an AC/DC song I heard them doing it to. But they'll, a bunch of the characters will come up onto the stage, and they do like the dance of the thing. And it's really, it's a lot of fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to know that. I saw someone post about it during the team member preview night. So that would have been the Wednesday before we saw it. So 2 days before, they said one of the great things about the scare zones this year is that most of them kind of had like a show element to them. So you wanted to stay in there longer. Fans of HHN, I feel like we always want to just sit in scare zones for a while and take it in, watch the scares happen, watch them unfold. But the more show elements that are in there, and it's happened in the past, you know, like when the Stony Brook with Scare Zone was there a couple years back, like in
the hospital,
when the Purge, like anytime they had something in that area, they always try to have a show element. But this year with Chucky being there, I feel like there's more of a show, more than there was like when they had Chance up talking to Dick in Pictures. With Killer Clowns, it's not the same type of show, but it still is one where you're going to actually want to sit back and watch it all happen. You're going to want to catch the clown with the dog.
Oh yeah, because he's great. He's there, and then the humans are there. I saw them the other night too.
Yeah,
so they're like roaming around in there, like, and the clowns are kind of looking for them. So there's a lot more going on in there than you think there is. You
know? Exactly. So I think that's a good thing, and I'm looking forward to spending a lot of time in the scare zones now that I'm back up and at them. So those are the scare zones. I mean, if you want to rank the scare zones, you can. I don't, not yet.
Like, because there's not really like bad, except for there's that one main one. But there's also the chainsaw hordes too that are running around still that make me uncomfortable because they're like clowns this year.
We'll rank those at the end when we do our HHN wrap up. But let's go over our rank for the houses, and we're going to start with 10 and work our way up to number one. So Rhino, what's your number 10?
Horrors of Blumhouse.
And that is also mine.
Yes, yeah.
And my number 9 house then would be Halloween 4. What about yours?
Mine's Seeds of Extinction.
Yeah.
Yeah, although we were talking about Halloween, and I did just debate about like moving Halloween down, but I have had better scares in Halloween than I have had in Seeds of Extinction in the times I've done it.
Well, what's your number 8 then?
Halloween.
Okay, and I swapped with you on that. My number 8 is Seeds of Extinction, so we're just back and forth on that. What is your number 7?
Carnival Graveyard.
And that's exactly where I have it on my list, too. I just, again, I feel like very detailed, but the scares weren't there. But that, I think that house could improve.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's just I feel like I haven't experienced it enough. But.
And my number 6 then would be Dead Exposure.
That's what mine is.
Okay, and we're working along. And then what's your number 5?
Well, this is really where it gets into it. Like even like Carnival Graveyard. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. They're like, okay, like Seeds of Extinction, I'm like, meh, I'll do them all again. However, like here, it became a little trickier.
Yeah.
So I have Slaughter Cinema as my number 5.
Okay, and this is where I put Stranger Things for me. It's just, I don't know why you're so shocked. I've said it. I like the show. I like the first season. I just don't think it was translated well for what it was. I just didn't care for the Demogorgons. And again, like I said earlier, I don't care for just like all the gun scares. It just it didn't appeal for me. The same way we don't like The Purge, because it's people shooting off guns and stuff. It's not necessarily
scary. I don't
want
it to be like real world. Yeah. Get the guns out of there.
So that's just where I had mine. But agree to disagree on that. My number 4 then was Slaughter Cinema.
Mine was Stranger Things.
Okay.
Which I thought would be my number 1.
Yeah, and I think I had Slaughter Cinema as my number 1 going into it. It wasn't bad. It was just obviously I was blown away.
Another experience, yeah.
But we'll see where it happened, where it lies with that. So what was your number 3?
Trick or Treat.
Okay.
Yeah, but these are the harder ones, because like these I would just keep doing over and over again. The top 3 or 4 here, well 4 because Stranger Things, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just like Trick or Treat because it embodies like Halloween for me, because it is the story of Halloween, and it is like, so there's jack-o'-lanterns, there's candy, there's trick-or-treaters, you know, so I like that'll really get me in the spirit.
You know? Mine was Scary Tales, but that could easily move up to my number two spot. I really liked Scary Tales a lot, but I need to do it a couple more times. And then my number two is what your number three was, is Trick or Treat.
Well, that's Scary Tales, as I
And it's just because I love Trick or Treat so much. Yeah. They did it justice for me, and it's where I predicted it would be, and it's what I wanted, so it was done well. And then that means both of our number one, and I think most of the world. Yeah,
Poltergeist. This house is scary.
I couldn't say it any better than myself. That's the don't miss house. In my opinion, I'm just going to say this before we wrap up. I think, in my opinion, the top seven houses that we listed, those are all from Carnival Graveyard up. Those are all houses that are not to be missed. If you're going to the event only one night, you can't do everything. Don't miss those houses. For me, Seeds of Extinction and Halloween, there is still a lot to like about the houses, but
if you miss them, it won't be like people won't be talking about them next year.
Yeah.
You'll forget. You'll be like, what was the other house again? You know.
Yeah, and Blumhouse is the one that's just bad that you can skip.
I don't think you'll ever even have to wait for it. It's like only ever has like a 10. It always says 15 minutes. I walk right in, and my eyes can't adjust that fast. Yeah,
I don't care for it. But so I mean, I think obviously those top nine. Those are all houses you should try to do. If you had to miss two, in my opinion, if you had to miss one originally, Blumhouse. If you had to miss two more, I would go with Halloween 4 and Seeds of Extinction. But I know people who just absolutely adore Seeds of Extinction. So this is just our opinion. If we haven't steered you wrong in the past, maybe trust us on it. If not, don't. It's fine. Our feelings aren't hurt. It's just our opinions on it. And please take everyone's into matters. And if you want to make sure you don't miss anything, definitely plan for multiple nights this year. It's very popular. And try to get an express pass if you can, if you don't have a frequent fear pass where you can go back over and over again to hit these over the course of multiple. If you are coming for that short time, only a day or two, get that day or two. If you're even coming one night, I might even this year recommend getting in one of the group VIP tours where you know you're going to hit every house at least once. So it's expensive.
I'm curious about the meal.
The Scare-Ector meal?
Yeah. Somebody who watches our show did it recently, so I saw pictures and I was like,
Yeah, I've looked at it every year since they started it, and then it's like $50.
Do you not get into a house or anything for that? Oh,
you get a buffet and you get some photo ops.
Get out of here. Never mind.
Yeah. But okay, that's our thought on this year's Halloween Horror Nights 28 as of right now. It will change. We'll probably update you in a couple weeks on it. We're going to have obviously more content dealing with HHN as we go through the event, so keep an eye out for that. But that is it for this episode. So, of course, we want to hear what you think of the event if you've already gone. So you can always do that by leaving comments down below or emailing us uopodcast@disunplug.com. Can't remember that email address? Well, you can head to disunplug.com, home of our show notes for this show and all the others on the Dis Unplugged Podcast Network. You'll also find links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so much more. So if you are watching this on YouTube, of course, hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up, leave those comments below. If you're listening to this on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review us. So thank you, Rhino, for having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, everyone out there, for listening and watching to this. Obviously, we appreciate you, as we always say we do, and we really appreciate that you take the time to watch us. And again, I don't think I said it before I got sidetracked, but thank you so much for all the well wishes while I was getting better, and it just means a lot to us, and I hope you get enjoyment out of this every week that we do it. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back with you next week with another episode of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. But until then, remember, we still have not changed the name.